concerning God's grace. I believe it's important for us as Christians to really understand God's grace. Now, I think most of us understand that it's by grace that we have been saved. But what I want to deal with more than anything else, it's by grace that you live and reign in His kingdom. It's not by your works. It's not by your performance that God is grading you, that God is evaluating you. God is evaluating you solely upon His grace being worked out in your lives. And so today I want to talk about grace versus performance. How many know that many of us are performance type of people? We like to earn brownie points. We like to be in favor. You know, like if you're on the job, you enjoy the favor that you receive from your boss, your employer. You like to be in good favor. You like to be in good standing. And that's all right and good. And many of us do things in our Christian walk simply to be in favor with God. And that's the wrong motive. And so I want to talk about today the importance of continuing to walk in God's grace after your initial experience. And you say, well, that's what I've been doing. What do you think I've been doing? I've been living a Christian. I've been walking in God's grace. What's the big deal? Well, I believe that many of us fail to walk in the fullness of God's grace. I believe many of us fall short of walking in the fullness of what God has to offer us through His manifold grace. And that we often revert back to walking in a spirit of condemnation and guilt to where we were before we were saved. It's hard sometimes to get over that feeling of condemnation and guilt when you do something wrong. I'll tell you what, that's what the devil wants you to walk in. Because you will never be more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ if that spirit of condemnation, if that spirit of guilt is driving your life. Amen. Because it creates a heaviness upon you that keeps you from really coming into the fullness of what God really desires for you. And so what happens is because we're motivated out of condemnation and guilt, we become performance-oriented people. Rather than people who have experienced the great and the wonderful freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Galatians chapter 3, Paul, in his letter here to the people at Galatia, he's addressing this issue. Now, their problem was that they were falling back into the works of the law. Now, we don't deal with that. We don't deal with the works of the Old Testament law, but the principle is much the same. And what we often find ourselves falling back into is a works mentality rather than a grace mentality. And so Paul says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" That's the New King James Version. Now I want to give you how this reads in the New International, because I believe it brings this out a little bit more clearly. It says, "Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal through human effort?" You started out in the Spirit. You started out in God's work of grace. And now you find yourself, you know, you've received the goal. You've received the challenge. And you find yourselves trying to work this thing out in your own strength, in your own effort, falling back upon your own plans, your own methods of doing things, rather than leaning upon His grace and His sufficiency and His strength. And I'm here to tell you this morning that the church will never become the mighty force in the land if we do not get a hold of this principle, if we don't understand that it's not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, that we're going to walk and fulfill our destiny in Jesus Christ. It's by His Spirit. And through His Spirit comes a manifold grace into our lives. But this is a common problem that I believe Christians all over Christendom experience. And it's not just a problem in one denomination or in one branch or one stream. It's a problem that's prevalent all over Christianity. Regardless of our doctrinal backgrounds. Because we all deal with human nature. And the human nature wants to take over and be in control and do it in its own strength. It's a problem that we all share in common. Now, to get an idea of what I'm talking about, let me ask you a question this morning. If you knew you only had 1 month to live, what would you do differently about your life? How would you prepare yourself to meet the Lord during that time? Would you pray harder? Would you pray more? Would you memorize more Scripture? Would you read your Bible more? Now watch out. Would you get involved in more spiritual works? Would you give more money and get your tithes up to date? Would you witness to everyone that you saw? Or would you repent of every bad habit and sin that you were aware of? Now, if your answer is yes to these questions, you are a performance-based Christian. Now, I'm not talking these things down. These are all good things. They're disciplines. They're spiritual disciplines that God wants us involved in. They're good works. But if all of these things are springing from a wrong motive, then it's not going to get the job done. They're all good things that God expects from us. But this isn't necessarily, I should say they're all good things, but they're not necessarily what God expects from us. You see, I'm here to tell you this morning there's no amount of good works that you can do to earn God's favor. There's no amount of good works that you can do to earn any more of God's favor. It's already been granted unto you. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. Because it's through grace. It's a free gift. And so my question today to you is this. Are you living by grace? Or are you living by performance? In Galatians again in verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 4 it says, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law or justified by works. You have fallen from grace." Now, does that mean you lost your salvation? No. Grace is a multifaceted word. It encompasses a lot. But what happens when I try to work out my salvation? The Bible says we work out our salvation in the fear of God, and we have been created unto good works. But if I'm being motivated wrongly concerning those good works, and I am doing what I am doing just to be seen by others, or if I am doing those things out of guilt and condemnation trying to earn God's favor, then I have fallen from grace. And God's grace is not working in me and being released in me in the capacity that He has ordained. You see, I believe this, that any spiritual work that we are involved in is a part of God's grace. It's a part of His grace being unfolded into our lives. And the more I'm centered upon His grace being poured into my life, there's going to be a natural process, a natural work that's in alignment with the grace and the overall calling and leading that He has for my life. How many know that many of us can get involved in all kinds of things? And they may be good things, but it may not be what God has purposed for you. You see, if I'm just doing things out of a works mentality, then I'm going to be doing a number of things that may not be in alignment with His purpose and His calling in my life. And therefore, the grace that God has for me, the release that He has for me in my calling and all that, is not coming into focus. Because I'm too oriented to, you know, I've got to do this. I'm like Martha. So busy doing everything that I forget to sit at Jesus' feet and find out what it is He really wants for me to do. I want to talk just momentarily here about our need for God's grace. Every one of us is in tremendous need of God's grace. And we recognize that more when we were lost. We recognize that when we were lost. Before we knew Jesus, we knew what our condition was. We knew that we were in a helpless condition. We knew that we were in a condition that was totally dependent upon His mercy, His grace, His forgiveness, and that we were going nowhere. I tell you, when that revelation first hit me, there was something that happened in my heart. There was such a spirit of thankfulness. There was such an appreciative spirit in my heart that says, "Oh God, what did I ever do to deserve this?" He says, "You didn't do anything. You didn't deserve it." He says, "But I gave it to you anyway. I just gave it to you because I love you. And you're one of my children." The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 through 12, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is no one who seeks God. They have all gone out of the way. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." Everybody is unprofitable in God's sight. Nobody does good. This is no, not one. You see, that was your condition prior to salvation. You were worthless. You were. I was worthless before my salvation experience. But when Jesus came into my life, He placed something of value in my life that caused me now to become a person of importance, a person who was valuable before God. One of His vessels, one of His instruments, His chosen instruments of righteousness. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 again says, "But we are all an unclean thing." And some of you says, "Well, I wasn't that bad of a guy before I got saved. I was a pretty good guy." How many know there's some non-Christians out there that are better people than Christians? It's true. They were raised right. Sometimes it takes a while for God to knock off the rough edges in our lives. But I still stand before Him forgiven. I stand in His righteousness. But it says, "All your righteousnesses are like filthy rags." It's the way it was. "We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." Whatever you were before you were saved, however good of a person you were, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough. You still had a sin nature that needed to be reckoned with. The fallen, Adamic nature. It was a need of a Savior. Because there was none that was good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person that has ever been born on the face of the earth has fallen short. Could not measure up. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You see, we're justified freely through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. But aren't you thankful for a God who gave us an answer to that need? God says, I have an answer to your problem. And His name is Jesus. He's my only begotten Son. And I'm sending Him to the earth. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to have Him walk as a human person. I'm going to have Him be tempted in every area that you have ever been tempted in. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow Him to be nailed to the cross. And as He hangs on that cross, and the blood drips from Him, He is going to become sin for you. Why? So that we might be made alive in Jesus and that we might be able to stand in God's righteousness. And this is the thing that we need to understand, is that when Jesus hung on the cross, it was as if He committed every dirty, gross, stinking sin that you can think of. And some that you can't. He paid the penalty. And now He can sympathize with you. He understands you. He understands your weakness. He understands that you are human and that you are frail humans and that you are prone to sin. And what He did when He went to the cross, they took that robe off of Him, didn't they? You know where that robe is at now? You're wearing it. You're wearing His robe. You're wearing the robe of righteousness. So that when God looks at you, He sees you as a person who is holy. A person who is righteous and doesn't have to do another thing to earn His favor. All you have to do is receive what He has given to you. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, we have been created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want to give you a definition of grace by Jerry Bridges, the author of Transforming Grace. He says, grace is God's free an unmerited favor shown to guilty sinners who deserve only judgment. It is the love of God shown to the unlovely. It is God reaching downward to people who are in rebellion against Him. How many of us, man, I examine myself and sometimes, oh Lord, I'm still so human. I fall so short. When I know people are in rebellion to me or whatever it is, it's hard for my heart to reach out towards them. But see, that's the love of God. Only the love of God in our lives, only the grace of God working in our lives can do that. And that's what Jesus did for us. We were in rebellion against Him. And yet, God reached out towards us. I'll tell you, when I got saved, I wasn't asking to get saved. I wasn't. I wasn't looking for Jesus. He came looking for me. He came seeking me out. He saw the way I was going. He saw my error, and He loved me enough to stop me right in my tracks and say, enough is enough. I'm apprehending you for my kingdom. Now, I had to give in. I had to submit my will to that and say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. In fact, I didn't do that immediately. How many of you have ever been fishing? Most of us caught a few fish. What happens when that fish gets a hook in his mouth? Does he just automatically submit and reel himself in? No, he takes that line and he runs as far as he can with that hook. How many know that that's the way we are when Jesus caught us? We took that hook and we didn't want to get reeled in. But God was patient with us, wasn't He? He was patient. He was long-suffering. And He would let us go, and then He would reel us in. And then He would let us go, and He would reel us in. And finally, we just get tired of the struggle. And we say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. The fight's over. And by that time, we've come to understand the love and the grace of our Father. And how patient and kind and wonderful He is. And so, when we came to Jesus, we recognized our need. We recognized our need for His grace, for His love. And we didn't have a problem accepting it. We didn't have a problem accepting what He had to offer because we were helpless in our condition. Hey, by the time He reeled me in, I was almost dead. I mean, I was a zombie. I was a burned out acid freak. And God saved me from all of that and restored my mind. I didn't even know what reality was anymore. I had built this camper. All I knew is I wanted to build this camper on the back of my pickup and go sit down in the desert in Mexico and wait for Don Juan to come and appear. The spirit of peyote. I mean, that's where I was at. No reality. So separated from this life. And Jesus brought me back. He brought me back because of His grace. I think back, Lord, how could have I ever gone that far away? I mean, today that is so remote from my thinking, I can't even imagine how I ever got to that place. But I know how it works. It's the devil. When he gets in there and starts sowing the seed, he can do it. He can twist our minds. But how many of us continue to live in this helpless condition? Are you today living in the same helpless condition where you were at when Jesus found you? Are you totally dependent upon His grace and His sufficiency for your life? Again, in Galatians chapter 3, it says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal through human effort? You see, if we came into God's kingdom by grace, we must also live in the kingdom by grace. If we couldn't get into the kingdom by good works will not sustain us either. We must continually be motivated by grace. Listen to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. This has always been one of my favorite scriptures because it's given me the confidence to be where I'm at today. It's the truth. I got a hold of this verse when I was a baby Christian, and I believed it. That what God started in me, that He was going to complete. He was not going to leave something unfinished. And it says here, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will also complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now let me insert some words into the scripture. being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you by his grace will also, by his grace, complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, we were brought into his kingdom by grace. We are sanctified by grace. And this is the thing that we've got to realize, is that we're being sanctified by grace. We're going from glory to glory by grace. We're not going from glory to glory by works. Now, works are an added thing that come as a result of walking in God's grace. I believe our spiritual works are really an indicator of how well we're really walking in God's grace. We serve by grace. We're motivated by grace. We receive strength to endure trials by grace. I'll tell you, anybody ever tried to get through a trial on your own strength? It doesn't work, does it? I mean, that is one area where you really find yourself falling short. But when you've got God's grace going through a trial, it's like, man, you realize I am more than a conqueror and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because it's his grace working in our lives. You see, the entire Christian life is lived under the reign of God's grace. And we forget it. You know why? Because we're carnal. And we're all legalistic by nature. Legalistic? That's going to be one of my messages in this. Grace versus legalism. But we are all legalistic by nature. Well, God's doing something wonderful in my life. He told me to do this, and before I know it, I'm trying to impose what God's doing on me, on this person, on that person, on that person. When I do that, it's becoming legalism and a work of law. Being motivated by grace means that we realize that it isn't our spiritual disciplines. Listen to this. Being motivated by grace means that we realize that it isn't our spiritual disciplines and works that earns us God's favor and blessings in our lives. Then this all continues to flow from his riches of grace, whether we deserve it or not. You don't deserve God's grace any more today than you did when you were first saved. It's his unmerited favor in your life. And so what happens is that we don't understand that, and so we become motivated by works. Lord, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. If I don't pray today, you won't use me, or anything like that. There are many godly spiritual disciplines that we need to be involved in, which are often constituted as our spiritual work. Things such as regular church attendance, daily devotions, Bible study, prayer, fasting, scripture memorization, witnessing, and giving of our tithes and offerings. All of these are important Christian activities. But you know, as I read that list, I almost get weary thinking about all that. You see, if I'm not being motivated by God's grace, and that becomes like a noose around my neck. And so the question is, do you do these things to earn God's favor? Or do you do them in response to his grace and love? You see, if you are operating out of a response to God's work, out of his grace, then you'll witness when he wants you to. You won't feel all bound up that I've got to speak to every person that I see. You'll be more led by the Spirit. Now, disciplines are good. They help us to grow and mature. But hey, I don't do them to earn God's favor. You know, there have been times, and I'll confess this before you, that I've gotten up here and preached and been, I think, fairly anointed and haven't deserved it. Knowing that I didn't prepare well enough in prayer or whatever. Hey, but the anointing is not conditioned upon that. Now, if I get into a pattern where that becomes an overall pattern in my life, somewhere I'm going to reap the consequences of that. But what happens if I fail? What happens if I forget to pray today? Does that mean that God's going to be mad at me the rest of the day? How many of us feel like that sometimes? We walk around in a spirit of guilt and condemnation because we know we didn't read our Bible today. We know we didn't pray today. And so we go through the day, oh, I'm just going to eat worms because God hates me and He's mad at me and He won't do anything for me. I can't be blessed by God today. I didn't do my spiritual discipline. God's blessing is not contingent upon that. God can use you so anointed to witness to somebody, to speak the word to somebody, even though you don't deserve it. Hey, why do you think, I don't understand all this. I don't understand it when I see men of God get up and preach the most anointed sermons and heal people and then find out that they have been walking in sin. And so what am I trying to say? I'm trying to release you here this morning from a bond. So that you will be better equipped to really be involved in what He has destined for your life. You see, a person who is secure in God's love and His grace does not get blown out of the saddle every time He blows it. If you are secure in God's grace and His love, when you blow it, when you sin, you won't fall apart. You know what you'll do? You'll confess it and forsake it and walk on. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, for the righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. He gets up. He says, I know I don't deserve it, but I'm going to get up anyway. And I'm just going to keep walking. And I'm going to keep going on for God. Hey, there's been times in my life where, you know, and we've all dealt with times where we're really trying to get over a particular sin or whatever, and we find ourselves giving into it time after time. But I tell you what, the only way you're going to get over that is to realize that God is still going to love you. He's still going to bless you. You're still going to grow as long as you're dealing with it and repenting of it. So what if you fail? It's not fatal. God still loves you. I still love you. The church loves you. Hebrews 4. I want to wind this down here. Verse 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so what is our response to that? Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What is my response? Get back up. Get back up. Go to the throne of mercy. Don't be afraid of God because you blew it. You see, some people are afraid to approach God after they have sinned. After they have failed, they are afraid to approach God because they're afraid that God is standing there with His whip. And He's ready to beat you over the head. No, my God isn't like that. And neither is your God. My God says I can come boldly. I can march right up there and receive mercy and help in time of need. Now, the truth of the matter is that our works are a result of walking in God's grace. What did it say in Ephesians 2? It says, "For we are His workmanship, that God has created in us for good works beforehand." See, the truth of the matter is that our works are an indicator of how we are responding to God's love and grace. If we are doing things out of guilt, to please and appease others, we are performance-oriented. If we are doing things out of a godly response to God's love and grace, we are operating under His grace. In James 1 and verse 25, and James is a book that Martin Luther had a real problem with. It's on works. But I don't see a problem there. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, "He who looks into the perfect law of liberty." That's the preface. Looking into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. And is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You see, the true work that God has for our lives can only be released through His grace. The true work that God has for you can only be released through His grace. Anything outside of that will be burned at the day of judgment. You will be saved so as by fire, but your works will be burnt. And so when we are looking into the perfect law of liberty, we find the spiritual work, the discipline that God gives us to do that is somehow a part of our overall calling and election in Him. And another thing here. I mentioned this, but I want it to really get into our hearts. Is that God's blessings flow through His grace, not our performance. All of God's blessings, all of His riches flow through His grace. If I'm walking as a performance-based Christian, I have actually fallen from grace, and I'm losing my inheritance as well. Not my eternal inheritance, the inheritance right now, today. I'm losing it. And that's why so many Christians live unproductive lives. Is that they're walking in their own works. They're not walking in the works that Christ has destined for them. You know what the work of God is? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You see, if I just center in on getting to know Jesus, believing in Him with all my heart, He's going to establish me in His work. Performance-oriented people are always seeking God's approval. Always trying to seek for God's approval. They think that they must constantly earn God's approval, so they find themselves getting involved in lots of things that may not even be the will of God for their lives. Listen to this. God's true giftings can never be recognized under that mentality, because they're looking to their own means and sufficiency in the whole area. Peter had the same problem. He says, "We've left everything to follow you. What's our reward?" And what was Jesus' response? "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." And then He goes on to give them the parable of the workers in the vineyard. You know, the parable where the guy went out and hired people at the beginning of the day and then hired people at the end of the day and then paid them all the same price. He's talking about performance versus grace. And there are rewards that we're going to receive. But if our works are based on performance, we will lose those rewards. And so, as we close here this morning, If we're doing things out of guilt, shame, eye service, as men pleasers, or some other self-serving motive, we are performance-oriented people who have fallen from the workings of God's grace. And as a result, we do not inherit the wonderful blessings that God has for us. When we fail, we become guilt-ridden. We become full of condemnation, thinking God hates us, He's mad at us, instead of just receiving His forgiveness and security that comes from abiding under His grace. And so let us all determine to be motivated by God's grace, which will produce in us the godly character and the good works that He's really desiring for each one of our lives. That's my prayer for each and every one of us today, is that we would become a people that would become so dependent upon His grace, upon His sufficiency, that we would truly be motivated, inspired to do the things that He has destined for this church and for our lives. Then I wouldn't be doing things just because I want, you know, Elder Bob to see me do it, or Pastor Ken or Mike or whoever. But I'd be doing it because I love Jesus more than anything else. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for Your love, for Your grace. We ask, Lord, that this word be sealed in our hearts now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.